Good morning, everyone, and again, it is my privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's so good to see all of you, see Bill back with us, and all of us here and are healthy, as we know, and that we know of, and God has blessed us. He's blessed this congregation with good health, and we need to thank Him every day for that. I hope that none of us ever get to the point that we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. I want you to come with me to Acts, the 9th chapter, if you would. Acts, the 9th chapter. Now, identification with a local church was a practice in the New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. It says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples." Now, the English Standard Version has a better translation of that. It says, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples." Here. So here we see an approved example of people joining the church. They need to join the church. We are to identify ourselves with the local church to work and worship. Do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being a part of a congregation that is working? A congregation that is at peace? A congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord? I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. And I ask each of you, do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village Church of Christ and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it, or what you and I owe to it. If you would, please open your Bibles to Acts, the 8th chapter. In the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It's first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to all the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, Hebrews 12, 23. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16, 18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was speaking. When Paul speaks of being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2:47, the Bible tells us, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So when an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense to the body of the saved. Look with me at Acts 8 and begin reading in verse 25 down through 29. 35, Acts 8, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What did hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." You may be asking yourself, well, how did the eunuch know that he needed to be baptized? Because Philip preached unto him Jesus. And when you preach Jesus, you preach baptism as well. When the eunuch came out of the water, He was saved and added to the one body of the saved, the church in the universal sense. Now this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, no authority to appoint a worldwide officers, no authority to collect a treasury, or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. Now the Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take away their names from that list, which would be the same as the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to read, consider with me 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Start there. 2 Timothy 2:19. Paul wrote, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Listen now, "the Lord knoweth them that are His." If you quickly turn back to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 5. In Revelation 3 and verse 5, which tells us, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now there are individual activities that we are to do because of our relationship to Christ in this universal body. I'm a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. As a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, I perform as a husband and father, and do all the other activities, always, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, such a beautiful passage. Let's read that together. Galatians 2:20. No one could ever put it better than he did when he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Isn't that beautiful? All of this related to the universal church and the Christian's place in it is true. But there's another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. And that is the local sense, or as in a local or a local congregation. We read of the churches of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. Read of the churches of Galatia, 1 Corinthians 16:1. All of this indicates locality, speaking of a church in the local sense as in a local congregation. I may leave one congregation as I move to another city or place and join another, while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to belong to the church in the universal sense. We read of Paul in Acts 9:26, which we read earlier, seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. What was he doing there? Paul was seeking to identify with the local church there. It's clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to worship and work within that church. God expects this. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are in addition to the ones that I have as a member of a universal church. The question is, what do you and I owe the local church? What do I owe the local congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I'd like to mention is this. As a member of Prairie Village, I owe this local congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord, because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but you know what? In a local congregation, or any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. That's right. As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans, and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of that truth. I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a church having troubles, I think of the Corinthian church. Now, brethren, there was a congregation with some problems, some big problems. And I'm going to give to you these problems that the church at Corinth had chapter by chapter. In chapter 1, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 3, we read of incest being tolerated in the church. In chapter 6, it is a sad story of brethren going to court or to law against one another. In chapter 7, marriage problems. Chapter 8 and 10, problems some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. In chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. Chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride, and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies. And in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. My friends, this was a congregation with some serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it and just go running away because of its internal struggles. No, he chose to seek to work out their serious problems and help them correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible teaches the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation. This is one of the reasons we have meetings, gospel meetings, reason we go to gospel meetings, reason we have singing and so on. So we're in fellowship with other local congregations. There's no such thing in the New Testament as a floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes faithful anyone who refuses to settle down with a local group. It's not faithful if you don't identify with a local group. You're not faithful. Neither is any such thing as membership back home. It simply is not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. That won't work. We need a local church membership because we need association with the saints. We see it in Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders. Acts 20 and verse 28. We need scriptural discipline. Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. We need a collective worship. Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church. Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21. We receive many blessings from our membership in a local congregation. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligations as members. As members, we must make sure the truth is taught. Ephesians 5:14. As members, we are told to obey the elders. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. As members, we ought to live righteous as an example to others. Matthew 5:14 through 16. As members, we need to admonish our brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony. Ephesians 4:1 through 3. As members, we should give of our means. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. As members, we are asked to participate in this program of work here. And we are required, brethren, we are required to attend to all the assemblies possible. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Now, secondly, I owe the body of Christ here prayer village the exhortation that we must all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Come with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, most of us know Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 24, which says, Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Brethren, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become so discouraged. Each of us can weaken a little bit and get tired. But you know what? The Lord knew that. He knew that, and he made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It's so interesting to me that even animals in nature understand their strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nest, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? But I don't mind telling you that there are many times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive, a tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians, exhorting and being exhorted. And as you know, the world is constant in its exhortation through television, through the internet, through our cell phones, the radio, the worldliness of fellow employees, and just the sinful environment to which we're exposed daily. The world is like a river running over the stone of faith. It can just slowly wear it away, and we need to have it constantly renewed. My brethren need it, and so do I. The third point I'd like to make is I owe the Prairie Village congregation faithful attendance to its work. Now, this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. We did not continue in our reading of Hebrews 10 a moment ago, but we could certainly have gone on and read Hebrews 10, verses 25 through 27. So let's go back and look at that. Hebrews 10, we're going to read verses 25 through 27. Hebrew writer wrote, "Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Did you notice here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend assemblies of ourselves together is called sinning willfully? Have you ever thought about that? Sinning willfully. That's serious. That is serious. When you don't come to church when you could and when you should, you're sinning willfully in God's eyes. Show me a one-hour only a week a Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a lot stronger than he or she is. And from the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week or a month or even less, don't come elders or preachers or teachers, I can assure you that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. And Paul told us about that. He exhorted us about this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Paul told the brethren, wrote to the brethren, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Brethren, such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort. Their lack of effort. All these folks, for their lack of effort, but they always expect the building to be open, to be cooled, and to clean, heated and cleaned and paid for. They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completed, but they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in any of these areas. In every congregation, there are a few so distant from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for a month or two before they even know it. These passages that we just clearly looked at indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. That's sad. That's sad. But God certainly does not view worship to Him as optional. There are some that will go if they have nothing else to do. They'll come to church. I ain't got anything else to do this morning. I'll go. They'll be absent because of ball practice, extracurricular school functions, family reunions, or family holiday gatherings. You name it. You name it. Some use the old excuse, well, I'm just too tired to go. Some who are careful to attend the Sunday morning service will skip other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more from His Word. Such behavior is a rebellious against the Lord of glory. It places the convenience of the worship above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, I know what the Lord said, but I thank. I know what the Lord says, but I thank. You can fill in the blanks. How does that compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read about in Acts 2:42? Let's look at that real quick, if you don't mind. Acts 2 and verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. They never quit, brethren. They never quit. That's why the church grew so much. They never quit. However, this is not to say we should not be interested in work at other places, nor is it always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides the local church. It is all right and even necessary at times to be away and to visit occasionally with other churches. But no Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of the biblical emphasis on the essentiality of local church membership. And this is especially true in a small congregation like Prairie Village. But I remind you that it was not easy for our Lord to leave His heavenly existence, take the form of a servant, suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of His trials, and then the agony of the cross. Wow. Think about that. Would you do that for Him, or for a sinful world? Would you do that for Him? You may want to think twice before you answer. Just consider, what if Jesus had gone to a family reunion that day? What if that would have made Him to miss a great sporting event? What if he was just too tired to come to church or services? And by the way, that's His only day off. Just think of it. Fourth point I want to make. Our Prairie Village, my financial support. Now, God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it's obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that can do for the individuals, we are commanded. It's not a suggestion. It is a command to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Danny quotes that quite often when he's up here. We're often familiar with 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. When we give, we are giving to the Lord. Surely Acts 5 and the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that clear. So you may ask, does the church need the money? Does the church really need the money? Of course the church needs the money. Prairie Village will always need it because the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved, and benevolence to the saints in need. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work that the Lord has given us to do and not in hoarding up money. As a member of Prairie Village, you and I have a responsibility. Yes, brethren, we have a responsibility, but it is also a privilege. A privilege. to share the support of the great work here. And again, I've said this so many times, please, brethren, please do not lose your soul for the love of a dollar bill. And there's one more thing I'd like to mention that you owe Prairie Village as a member here. Yes, you and I owe this congregation a proper attitude towards each other and every member of it. I need to love my brethren, and not in word only, but in deed. We hear and know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within them. But we all owe to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote, endeavoring to keep the unity, the spirit of bond and peace. That's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2. I think it's Philippians 2 and verse 4. Brethren, there is a joy of brotherhood and blessings of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation, one that is free of factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of faction and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 8. I want to remind ourselves, and I want us to read that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you would, please turn your Bibles. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, if there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, feel ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm only one, and you're only one, but this one is important. We will each stand before God in a judgment, and we will give an account of what we have done. We all desire to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And we will hear it if we have used our ability to the glory of God. Many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They're called lukewarm by the Lord. And it is said that God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Brethren, hear me now. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Too many of us, I believe, simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people that we may grow together, encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. One last thought about placing membership in a local church. Sometimes it's not the fault of the visitor for not placing membership. Maybe they do not know that is required by God to do so. I believe this lesson should help make perfectly clear what God wants and why He wants people to belong to a local congregation. Sometimes when congregations have so-called permanent visitors, as we might call them, we look at them like they're one of our members. We're doing these visitors no favors. And I believe this lesson explains why, by using the scriptures that we did to prove it. We may be keeping these visitors from obeying the gospel and going to hell, and we must stop this. We must obey the scriptures. So along with the members of this congregation, please hear our plea. If you're not a member of this congregation, you must place membership with us or with another faithful congregation. And I beg you to please do so before you leave this morning and be in the faith. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, I want us to read that together. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. And if you're not a Christian, we plead with you to come forward and repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You then will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, and then you can declare your desire to be a working member here at Prairie Village. If there's anyone here who has left his first love and have sinned in a way that others are aware of and have repented to God, you too need to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you, and then you too will be restored as a member in good standing. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church, please take care of it this morning. You do that by coming forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.